you, Jonathan, for leading us this morning and leading us in that song. What a great truth it is to sing that and to not be able to enter into this time of the sermon thinking that we are bringing something else, thinking that we're holding on to something besides Jesus as the reason for our salvation. The text that we're going to be looking at this morning, this letter from Paul to the Thessalonians, we're going to be in chapter 3, beginning in verse 6 this morning. And I knew that we'd have several guests with us today, specifically the college group. And so one of the things we're going to do a little bit differently, we're going to back up and recap a little bit here in just a second, two kind of just larger perspectives on where we are. But we're right in the middle of this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to this church, this fledgling church that he helped start, saw the converts, he had to leave, and he's writing them to encourage them to find out about their faith. And so we're right in the middle of the letter, and we're going to look at several verses this morning, beginning in verse 6, and I'll read through verse 10. But now Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news about your faith and love, and that you always have good memories of us, wanting to see us as we wanted to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you through your faith. For now we live, if you stand firm in the Lord, how can we thank God in return for all the joy that we experience because of you before Him? As we pray earnestly night and day to see you face to face so that we may be able to complete what is lacking in your faith. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, there are those in this room that have been walking in faith for years and years and years. And Father, there are others in this room who have just recently started to follow Jesus and ask exactly what that means. And Father, there are others in this room who don't know what it means to have a relationship with you, who don't know what it means to walk in faith and love, to be identified as a person of faith. And so, Lord, I pray that wherever we are this morning, that this little segment of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians would be a life-giving, life-transforming passage of Scripture that changes us and makes us more like Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, one of the regular text messages I get on my phone is from my mom, and it goes something like this. It happened just this past week, and she sent me a text message that said, "Ben, I sent a little package. It has the Easter dresses. Just wanted to see if it has arrived." Right, she, as many of you know, when you see our little girls running around here, they're always decked out in these fancy little dresses. And the origin of the source of those dresses is almost always my mom. That's just what she gets to do. She never bought little girl dresses for the three boys of us growing up, so now she's just kind of going overboard and buying them for the girls. And when she sends these packages, it's almost always like she puts it in the mail and she gets her phone out and sends me a text message to let me know that the package has arrived. But really what she's doing is she's waiting for the response to see the picture that I send her of the girls and they're wearing them as they get them back. She wants to know if her efforts, if her little shopping and efforts toward those packages is really going to be effective or not. She wants to know whether or not it worked, whether we like them, whether they're going to work, all those things. She is waiting as she sends that text message to me. She's waiting. She's anticipating a response of some kind. Depending on when she sends that to me, she's not going to get that for days. If she catches me in the middle of a meeting, she catches me when I'm doing something, it just goes off my mind and I don't respond. And what happens is I get another one a day or so later. I sent you a box. It's full of the Easter dresses. Just wanted to see if the girls like them. She is anticipating the response. And what we're doing here in the middle of this letter, where we are in this letter, is right in the middle of Paul's deepest expression of his anticipation of the result of what he sent, and that was Timothy, to the young church in Thessalonica. He wants to know, he is anticipating the result or the answer to that. And as you see here in verse 6, it comes to us fairly urgently. The Apostle Paul, it almost sounds like that right in the middle of he's drafting this letter, that Timothy walks in and delivers the report. The way that it makes it sound, the way that he frames it, is that it's almost like happening as a live event. Look at verse 6 again with me. But now Timothy has come to us from you and brought us the good news. If you think back just the verse before, he's waiting. He's anticipating. And now it's like the answer has arrived. Timothy has come and he has brought the glorious news that there is faith inside the Thessalonican church, inside of the church there. So here's, let me back up. This is one of the first recap that I want to do, and that's specifically for those of you who are visiting, is I want us to just kind of back out a little bit and think about where we are, all right? We're right in the middle of this letter, but let's back out a little bit further. Jesus Christ, after he's raised from the dead, he ascends to heaven. So Jesus goes up. After Jesus goes up, the Spirit comes down. When the Spirit comes down, the apostles go out. And as the apostles go out, the church starts to build up. As the churches build up, there's these different little places, these little communities of faith that start forming all over the world. And one of them is in the middle of Macedonia, in the middle of this town of Thessalonica. This church is that Paul writes the letter to, that is recorded in Acts chapter 17, 18, 19 there, that's called Thessalonica. Paul writes them a letter. He writes them two letters that we have here, 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. As Paul is doing that, he has several purposes inside of this letter. But one of the primary purposes that we just finished was that he is defending his apostolic ministry. In other words, he's trying to distinguish himself from some teachers that we, earlier on in our study, we call them kind of phony TV evangelists. They're traveling philosophers of the day. They're showing up in different towns. They're making money. They're good orators. They're rhetoricians. They speak. People give them money, and then they leave and go to the next town. And the Jews are accusing Paul of being something like that. And so the letter that he's sending back to them is he is defending his ministry, saying, we came to you and we cared for you like a mother cares for her children, like a father cares for her for his sons. That is the way that we thought about you, church. He's defending his ministry. Not only is he defending his ministry, but it seems like this young church is asking several questions. They're trying to find out the answers to how do we live now as a church not following the way of the Jews, but following the way of Jesus. How are we going to do that? And so, we're not quite there yet in our text, but later on in the letter, he is writing to answer these questions for them. He wants them to know, how do you live as a Christian? He gives them ethical exhortation after ethical exhortation after ethical exhortation. They also seem to have questions about, what happens to my friends or family members who have died? Because we thought Jesus was returning, and we thought he was going to return before any of us died away, and yet now there's people who are dying, so what do we do? So Paul instructs them on the return of the Lord Jesus. But ultimately, it seems like the purpose of the letter is for him to express what we're seeing here, again, which is the most clear look at the Apostle Paul's heart in the New Testament, is how much he cares. The joy that is derived from his ministry, finding out that there's faith on the other end of this letter when he sends Timothy. So, this morning, what we're going to see is that the gospel is the source of all encouragement. The gospel is the source of all encouragement. That's really the summary of what is happening in this little section of the letter. We're going to see it in a couple different ways. First, we're going to see it through a minister, through someone that Paul has discipled. And then we're going to see what it is that Paul cares about specifically, two components that he is really worried about, essential characteristics that he wants to know if the people in Thessalonica have or don't have. So first, let's look at who it is that is delivering this briefly. But now Timothy has come to you. Okay, again, this is, okay, historical recap number two. Who is Timothy? Where did he come from? All right, we're going to back up again. The Apostle Paul, we went through all that. Paul is traveling around planting churches with Barnabas. At some point, after they can't figure out what to do with circumcision or not, how do we do that? They huddle up all the apostles in Jerusalem. The apostles there, Barnabas is there, Paul's there, Peter's there. They're trying to figure out, how are we going to answer this question? Because the Sadducees are answering it one way. So they all huddle up. After that council is formed, and after the leaders of the early church come and write a letter to establish that, they're sending people back out to go tell all the churches the answer to that question. As they do that, Paul and Barnabas actually end up splitting ways. They can't figure out how to get along because Barnabas wants to take a guy named Mark. Paul doesn't want to take Mark because Mark had turned his back on them earlier on. So he's not going to give him a second chance. So the Apostle Paul is looking for another traveling companion. When Paul is doing ministry, he is not going to do it as a lone ranger. Paul is going to take people along with him in his ministry. And we're going to see here that the way that he takes people along with him in his ministry is going to result in his ability to be encouraged later on. So Timothy is this young guy that's in one of the towns that Paul travels to, and he picks up Timothy, he picks up Silas, and they're going around from town to town, so much so that at the beginning of this letter, it says, Paul, Silas, and Timothy are writing this to the church of the Thessalonians in God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is investing his life into the life of Timothy as he travels around in ministry. As he does that, he is multiplying his effectiveness as a minister of the gospel. What can we learn from that? All of us who are members of this church have a ministry of some kind or another. If you're not a member of this church, maybe you have a ministry of your own. I encourage you to follow the model that Paul is laying out for us here, and that is take people along with you as you do ministry. It is going to later on result in the multiplication of your effectiveness and the multiplication of how the gospel is able to go forward and how encouragement is able to be returned. More on this later on at the end of the service. But that's what we see at the very beginning, that Timothy is the one who has come and he has brought to them good news. This term here, good news in verse 6, is the same term that we use for gospel. When we say the gospel, it is this proclamation of an event that has already happened, and it's the result. It's telling them, it's heralding what it is that has already happened in the past tense. So when we say the gospel, we say we have good news to share with people. What we're doing is we're saying, just like Paul did in Acts chapter 17, verse 3, when he is sharing with the Thessalonians there, he says, Jesus Christ had to come and suffer, he had to die, and then he was raised. He overcame death. He brought life back to us. That is something that has already happened. And you know what I'm doing? I'm just telling you about it. I'm just witnessing to an event that has already happened. That word gospel is exactly the same word that Paul uses here in this letter. And what he's talking about is a report, a good news report that's coming back from the church that Timothy delivers to them about a historical event that's already happened. And that is that they found out that the people believed. Paul here himself is sitting in Athens. He's likely very discouraged, as we talked about last week. There's persecution happening all around. If you think about the parable of Jesus when he says that a man went into one town and he was scattering seed everywhere. He was just chunking seed left and right. And some of it fell on different types of soil. And at different rates, those soils came up and some of them died out. But eventually, the soil, where the good soil was and the seeds landed, it sprouted up and harvested something 10, even 100-fold of where it started. What the Apostle Paul is doing in essence in these towns, as far as we know, he may have only been in this church here in Thessalonica for 3 weeks. We know that he argued in the synagogue 3 weeks. He very well could have been there longer, but as far as we know, he was at least there for 3 weeks. He is scattering seed. He's testifying to the truth of the gospel there, and then he's gone. He gets forced out, and as he's going back to see, the seed that I scattered, those seeds that I dropped in the middle of Thessalonian church, did they grow or not? Are they going to result in a gospel harvest or not? Many of you in this room are in the middle of different ministries where it feels much more like you're just chunking seed out. You're telling people about Jesus in the midst of their hardships. You're sharing the gospel with them. And a lot of times you're just waiting. Is it going to affect? Is it going to change their life? Is it going to make a difference? What I just did, is it going to result in anything or not? That is the case of some of the ministries inside of our church I know of. Paul here is waiting on the very same thing, and he receives encouragement. Encouragement that the gospel has been effective inside of there. Here's the two things he's looking for, all right? These are the two key things. Again, we're still in verse 6. Most of our time will be in verse 6 this morning. What is he looking for? What is the good news testifying to? What is he finding out about them? Well, first it says, the good news that we found out about your faith and found out about your love. If you were to ask me two characteristics about our children, specifically if you were to ask me two characteristics about Emma, right now at her three-year-old stage, I can think of several things. She's cute, she's funny, she's very playful, she's energetic, whatever that is. But the two things right now that are dominant inside of little Emma's life, the first one is that she is noisy. She creates noise. And the second one is that she is always in motion, right? She is moving around. She's very talkative, very verbal. And the second one is she is like constantly on the move. Some of you know this because you work in the nursery. You've seen her in all her tornadic activity. She is, those are the two things that I think about, two essential characteristics about Emma. So yesterday, she was expressing both of those at their height for an extended time during the morning. It resulted in several different conversations and disciplined situations for her. And going into lunch, I decided, I was going to a wedding, a very nice wedding at the Seelbach Hotel, which is a friend of mine was getting married yesterday, and I was headed there by myself. And I was trying to think of a way, as every good parent does, to manipulate my daughter to make her quiet for just a little bit. And she wanted to go to the wedding with me, but there's no chance I'm taking Emma to a wedding at the Seelbach Hotel. It's just not going to happen right now. But what I did is, again, set up a unreachable goal for her that may give me like 3 minutes of serenity during the day yesterday. So I told Emma, I said, if you will sit on this table and keep your hands in your lap and not move and not talk for 10 minutes, you can go to the wedding with me. So that is an impossible goal in her little life right now. She's never done that for more than 90 seconds, I don't think, when she's not sleeping. And so she sits on the table and she looks at me, she puts her hands in her lap, and she keeps her mouth closed. And so for the first minute or so, she is accomplishing the goal here. And Julie begins to cheer her on and encourage her that she is doing a great job, which is Emma's love language. So she responds well to that. After about 2 minutes, Emma turns around and looks at me and she says, "Did I make it, Daddy?" And I didn't disqualify her for that because I still wanted her to stay quiet, knowing there's no chance she's going to make it to 10 minutes. So I said, "No, you still have to stay quiet until the number reaches, 1-7. So when it reaches 1-7, you can get up." So she's sitting there, sitting on the table, hands in her lap, quietly watching. The two chief characteristics about her are motion and noise. And somehow she is defying both of those two chief characteristics. About minute 3, I begin to encourage her because I'm enjoying the silence, knowing there's no chance she's going to reach the end. About 7 minutes in, Julie starts taunting me, and at the 10-minute mark, little Emma has somehow amazingly quieted herself and kept herself still in order to be able to go to the wedding with her dad. Sure enough, yesterday, I show up at the Seelbach holding the hand of a little 3-year-old walking into the service. She defied these two chief characteristics of who she was in order to go with me to that. Now, at the wedding, they came into full bloom, as you might imagine, running around, screaming, going crazy at the reception, dancing on the floor. She was back. It really was Emma. There was nothing wrong with her, right? If I were to close my eyes and just try to describe her or to pick up whether she's in the room or not, those are the two things that I'd be looking for. I'd be listening for her noisiness, and I'd be listening for her pitter-patter feet running and sprinting around, knocking somebody over inside of this room. The Apostle Paul, he wants to know two chief characteristics about the church here. And if you're doing ministry with anybody, these are the two things that that you should be asking yourself as well. If you're effective in gospel ministry, these are the two things, the essential characteristics that are going to show up in the life of people who are changed by the Word of God. This should be true about you this morning. As we look at this, I want you to ask yourself the question, do I have faith? Am I a person essentially characterized by a life of faith? First, and secondly, ask yourself this, have I been changed by love? Is my life working itself out in love for other people and love for one another? I'm going to read some scripture to you just within Paul's letters to this church here, just to show you the importance of these two things. In 1 verse 8, he says, your faith rang out all over the world here in this case. In chapter 3, verse 2, he says, we sent Timothy to you in order to strengthen your faith. 3 verse 5, I also sent Timothy to find out about your faith. 3 verse 10, we pray earnestly to see you and complete what is lacking inside of your faith. In 2 Thessalonians verse 1 verse 4, it says this, we boast about your faith during the persecution that you're undergoing to all of the churches in the region. Paul is concentrated on this. He wants to know, do these people exhibit a life of faith? We saw last week that Satan was going in and he was trying to uproot what Apostle Paul was trying to grow. Church, this morning, we need to be on guard on our faith. If you're a Christian this morning, you are a person of faith, living a life of faith, which means you don't live with everything that you see with your eyes. You live with what you see and hear inside of the Word of God, and it is more true than what you experience in your own life and how you read your own circumstances sometimes. The Word of God is true, and it stands forever, and it calls us to a life of believing it first and foremost. Does that characterize who you are? Secondly, he says that we found out about their love. So I'm going to do the same thing. Just within the letter here in the Thessalonians, Paul is emphasizing this characteristic of love. In 3 verse 2, it says, "May the Lord cause you to increase and overflow with love for one another." 4 verse 9, it says, "You are taught by God himself to love one another." Verse 5:13, it says, "We ask you to esteem your leaders and to treat them with love." It's not just here in 1 and 2 Thessalonians that these two things are combined as chief characteristic. Listen to a couple other aspects within Paul's writings where he is arguing the exact same thing, okay? In Galatians 5, verse 6, he says, "What matters is faith working itself out in love." Ephesians 1, verse 5 says, "Since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints." Colossians 1, 4 says the same thing. "We thank God. When we think about you, we thank God for we have heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and the love that you have for all the saints." Church, it is by faith that you are saved. And it is by faith that you are identified as a person of the church, as a person of the gospel. And then it also says that they will know you by your love. Love is the characteristic that determines or distinguishes and shows off whether or not you are a follower of Jesus Christ. You need to ask yourself this morning before you leave here, are these two things true about me? Are they what characterize my life? Well, there's another thing that encourages the Apostle Paul in verse 6 here. And it's the second thing, not only their faith and their love, but this is a little bit different, and it's just for this church. We're encouraged, verse 6, that you always have good memories of us, wanting to see us as we wanted to see you. Timothy comes back and says, you know what? The church doesn't think you abandoned them. The church doesn't think you left out, that you just came in and tried to make money and then leave. They think that you love them. They think that you care for them. They want to see you. Paul, they want you to return and to encourage and edify them as well. This is something that brings great joy to the heart of the Apostle Paul, that he knows that his ministry is not in vain. The result of this, briefly, verse 7 through 10 there, the result of this, "Therefore, brothers, in all of our distress and persecution, we are encouraged about you through your faith." In other words, the news that Paul receives back, this good report, this euangelion, this gospel that Paul receives back from Timothy, is something that trumps the persecution and the distress and the trials that he's undergoing. His situation, what's going on in his life, something comes in and becomes more valuable than that and changes his heart. It gives him joy over and above his circumstances because of the gospel witness that comes. So here's how I want to close out the service this morning with what we're looking at. I want to give you a couple examples. I'm not holding myself up to the Apostle Paul this morning. That would be really fun. But what I want to do is I want to talk about some of the other guys that are serving as pastors inside of our church. And I want to use the ministries that they are doing and the reports that they bring back to me every time we have staff meeting on Tuesday morning that most of you never get to hear. You never get to know what's going on in these different places. So I'm just going to briefly give you a testimony from their lives and what's going on inside. First, Chris Wells. He's not here. Just a few weeks ago, we had a visitor. Some of you may remember him, Donnie Turner. He came. He ended up getting sick in the service and leaving in an ambulance. Maybe why you remember him. But we followed up with him. We tried to talk to him about what's going on in his own life and in his faith. Chris and I ended up going with him to go get him some things that he needed in his own life. And as we did that, you know, Chris is sitting in the back seat, and he's asking Donnie about his life. And he's asking him whether or not he's been baptized. And as a result of that conversation and where that went, Chris Wells is sharing the good news of Jesus and holding up faith and hope for Donnie, who's sitting in the front seat waiting to get some basic needs in his life. Now, we are in the state that Paul is. We are waiting to see if that ministry was effective. The seed was planted. The gospel was proclaimed. Jesus was lifted up clearly, and Donnie was called to repent and turn of his life in order to follow and trust in Jesus. But Chris is bringing that testimony back inside of our church and saying, this is a ministry of Vine Street to share the gospel with this guy who came and visited our church. Secondly, go to Brandon every Wednesday night inside of this church. There are reports that come back, and even in recent days, some of the guys that show up there that you never think are listening. You think that everything he's saying, they're just like totally in another world. They come back to him and they open up and they ask some questions about their own life and what it means to walk with Jesus and what it means to have faith. And he was able to share that. He was able to bring that testimony back. And when he does that, it is unbelievably encouraging to me. And I pray that it's encouraging to you to know that you're part of a church that God is using. And again, we're right in the middle of seeing it. The buds are coming up, but whether or not they're going to produce fruit, we're still waiting to see. We're waiting to see what happens there. The same with Chris Moss. Chris has had several extended conversations with members of this community in recent weeks and months. Gospel conversations about who Jesus is and the difference that it makes in that person's life. And we are waiting to see whether or not those gospel conversations with people that I won't name right now are going to produce fruit or not. Dustin, the same thing. I'm going to use Dustin like the Apostle Paul here. Every Sunday night after church, the college kids, Justin and other guys, are going over to Dustin's house, and they are walking through the Bible and different topics, and they're trying to get their minds around what those things look like. Dustin is pouring himself into them to do what verse 10 says here, and that is to complete what is lacking inside of their faith. He is using the gifts that God has given him to grow them up, to teach them the Word of God, to point them into a place of faith. And for me, that is unbelievably encouraging. Knowing that these guys may not be here forever, they may not be in Louisville forever, they may go all over the world. But as they go, they're going to leave with this infrastructure of faith that was poured into them here inside of this church, a gospel ministry that Dustin was faithful to go. And we're going to see the fruits of that one day. Until then, until we're able to see that, until the harvest comes in, like Paul's report here, you know what we are to do? Let's look at the end here. What does Paul say in verse 10? What are they doing? We pray earnestly, night and day. We pray earnestly, night and day. Paul has been saying this throughout. He wants to visit them face to face so that his joy can be absolutely complete and he can finish out their faith. He can tell them what it is they don't know about God and how to live a life of Christian faith. Church, I think we're called to the same thing. At any given time in your life, you're right in the middle some way or the other of how the ministry is happening. Sometimes you're at the very beginning waiting to plant the seed. Sometimes you planted it. Sometimes you see it coming up. You don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes you're enjoying the fruit of what God is doing, the bountiful blessing there. All along the way, we are called to be a people who are earnestly requesting that God would do what only God can do, and that is to work and to change the lives of his people through the ministry we have. So as we close this morning, we're going to close and spend just a little bit of time in prayer. I'm going to give you a second just to pray for whatever ministry it might be that God has called to you to. If you don't have a ministry, if you don't know what that is, use this time as a time to stop and just be truthful and honest and transparent with God and ask him to show you what ministry it is that he might have you do, even inside of this church or whatever church that you're a part of. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would be a people who are earnestly praying and contending for the faith of those that we are able to minister to. Those that are inside of these walls right now and those that are outside of these walls. Father, you would give us a vision for depending upon you through prayer to see the lives of those that come across our paths changed and changed by the truth of the gospel. So I pray, Father, you would help us to be faithful in our ministries. And Lord, I pray that there's anyone in this room this morning that's asking a question about what ministry they might have that you would show them. Father, I pray if there's anyone in this room that is asking questions about whether they're a person marked by faith and love, Father, what an ultimately important question. There is nothing more important than finding out the answer to that. So, Father, I pray that even now that you might work through your Spirit to show them whether or not they truly are a Christian. Father, your Spirit works, and so we pray and ask that even now that you would work inside of our hearts to lead us in a path of faithfulness and a path of obedience toward the way of Jesus, in whose name we pray.